Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. You are listening to Max and Friends right here on LA Talk Radio. I'm so glad you're all tuning in tonight to a show that is going to be wonderful. My co-host Tamara's in the studio, and she has a wonderful friend of hers that's going to be on in just a little bit, a life coach, something that we all need right now in times as depressing as these are. You know, everyone with the whole Haiti situation going on with the earthquake that we've had, it's time that we all unite. You know, September 11th was a wake-up call for us as a country. The tsunami was a wake-up call for us as a nation. And then I think our egos get back in the way and we forget about the devastation that brought us together as humanity. So tonight, just let's give a moment of silence for Haiti, for the people that are struggling, for the people that are going through such a horrendous time in their life, that the world unites together because humanity is all we have. And the way that humanity will build stronger is by us uniting. So give a moment of silence for Haiti, people. And, you know, they say dead air is not a good thing on radio, but it was worth every minute of it because there are so many people that have died. The toll keeps getting higher and higher. We're not here to depress you. We're here to encourage you because that's what we do here at Max and Friends. So I'm your host, Max Tucci. Here's my lovely co-host, Tamara Bowman. What's going on, my friend?
Absolutely. Thanks, Max. That was a beautiful moment of just really acknowledging because loss can be devastating. And it can also, like you were talking about, be a huge awakening for us to just go, wow, what's really important to us? And there's nothing like something like this for us to come together.
You know, it's interesting because with September 11th, I mean, I'm a New Yorker. I was here when it happened. You know, it was such a devastating thing. And to watch everyone unite was so amazing. You know, and on top of this, it's Martin Luther King Day weekend. You know, it's like there's so many things going on. 2010, it's an amazing year. Devastation has happened so early in the year. But I think, you know, we can't question why it happened. We have to embrace why it happened and just unite. And it's like, what a more, I think, poignant weekend than Martin Luther King weekend where, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. was all about uniting the people.
Absolutely.
And that's what this earthquake in Haiti has done. It's united the world. So many people from all four corners of the world are getting together to help Haiti. And to tell you the truth, no one gave a shit about Haiti 2 weeks ago, a week ago. Mm. It was a poor country, you know, same island as the Dominican. They're illiterate. They can't read. Who cares about Haiti? You know, we had Melky John on, Wyclef's sister. She came on expressing her love for the Karma Foundation that she created for Haiti. And my prayers are with her and her family because they are fighting this. I shouldn't say fighting because it's not a fight, but they're uniting the nations. Wyclef, he's a friend of LA Talk Radio. You know, his sister Melky's a dear friend of mine. He's down there now, one of the first persons to be on call. He's got a lot of flack for his organization, but the bottom line is, text 501-501, text the word YELE, Y-E-L-E, to 501-501. $5 donation. If you're not comfortable doing it there, you want to go to Red Cross, wherever you want to do it, just donate because money, I spoke to Melky via Facebook, money is what matters right now. And they've raised literally over $2 million, Tamara, over text messages, just text messages alone. And that's just one organization.
Wow.
Obama has given $100 million to Haiti. You know, it's they're saying that with this death toll, Wyclef reports that there's probably going to be over 200,000 people dead.
Wow.
You know, and it's an island that's really has seen not many bright days, you know. The sun always shines in Haiti, but the people are the rays of Haiti. And to see that many people die, you know, puts a cloud over Haiti. And I just hope as humanity, as the world, we can all just enlighten it again and bring light back into that island and help them, you know, from the ground up. They say truth crushed to the ground rises again. And this is going to be our test as humanity to see how fast Haiti will rise again. Don't you agree?
Oh, my God. And Max, when you said that, it just gave me chills because I love that poem you talk about, that I will rise. And
I rise.
There's nothing like, you know, an opportunity for heroes to be born in, you know, times like this. You know, I mean, there's something that tugs inside of your heart that says, no, I will do something. Oh, my gosh. It's as if it's happening to you when, you know, you really unite with that sense of brotherhood, because that's really what Martin Luther King was about. I mean, he was about that brotherhood. And it's like you don't even have to know the face or the person, just knowing that someone is, you know, hurting across the world, and to be able to have some kind of impact is huge.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, you don't watch TV. Good for you.
Right. I seriously don't.
But, you know. I watch two things on TV. One is Brothers and Sisters, which I miss every Sunday night because I'm getting ready for the radio show. But that's okay, because I can watch it on ABC.com right after. But I also watch the news. And I try not to watch it, the depressing stories, you know, just more of the money stories, basically. But
there
the news has been saturated with Haiti. And, I'm, you know, what happens is when you see it firsthand, you don't have to be there to experience it, because when you see the images and when you see the devastation and when you see that people are begging for food, you know, it makes you wonder. Last night, you know, today is Michelle Obama's birthday, and I wasn't going to bring this up, and conviction, should I do it, should I not? And you know what? Last night, Michelle Obama, she was at a it was her birthday. Wonderful. She was celebrating at one of the most expensive restaurants in Washington, D.C. with her husband, all smiles, good times. As the first lady of this nation, if, you know, if she were my wife, and I can only speak for myself, not for the president, but if she were my wife, I would have made sure that we were down in Haiti feeding the people instead of feeding ourselves. As a president, as the man who runs this nation, who believes in change, who says we are the change, we are the change. Why aren't we down there helping them?
Well, see, and that's what I love about being in a position of authority is think about how much impact you can have when you really have that mindset. What you're talking about, Max, is look at the power you can use to empower and to be an example for what other people can do. I think that would really be a beautiful example.
You know,
if that were the case.
You see their pictures with all the paparazzi following them. Go, you know, I understand it's her birthday. Fantastic. Wonderful. But it's kind of condescending to say, help Haiti. She's doing the American Red Cross campaigns. Help Haiti. And then, you know, if for them, it's easy to get down there because, you know, as the president of the United States, you have a little bit of leeway into getting into Haiti.
Yeah.
It just, it kind of saddened me a little bit, you know. And this whole thing really has put a damper on my day, on my week. You know, after the show, I'm going to go to an event. And, you know, I'm not even going to wait till after the show. I'm going to let you take over. But I just wanted to be here to voice my opinions about Haiti. And to all of our listeners who are listening, you know, Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror.
Look
in the mirror. Start with yourself. And if you want to start with anything, text 501-501, the word YELE, and make a $5 donation.
And Max, where are you going? Are you you're going to be part of this support for Haiti.
I'm going. Since this has happened, I've become a, you know, Melky, I think it hits more home with me, hits home more because of Melky and my friend, my dear friend. She has the Karma Foundation. Google it. You know, she's from Haiti. Her radiance of the Haitian people shines every time she smiles. Her admiration for her country, for her people, for the island, you know, just really makes me want to help even more so because I know her, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, I've been a part of helping and Twittering and updating and making sure friends are donating. And, you know, we're starting with my niece's school that they should start a food drive. You know, everything helps. And, you know, when my niece turns on the TV and you see 10 kids dead on the street, what do you explain to them? You know, what do you explain to our future? Or just we're going to sit back and let this happen? And, you know, it's the simple things that we can do. A prayer is a wonderful, free, easy thing. You know, so that's what I encourage. Pray for the nation. Pray for the island. Pray for the people. And there's still hope. People are still being pulled out, Tamara, after all these days alive.
My God.
You know, there was a man who was stuck. The stories are endless. But there was a man stuck in an elevator, and the elevator protected him from the building collapsing around him.
Oh, my God.
You know, and he walked out with no scratches 3 days later.
Wow.
So this show is definitely dedicated to A, Martin Luther King Jr. for making such a difference here in America so that people can make a difference in other countries. And also for the people of Haiti and for the island of Haiti, may, you know, may you guys, like Maya Angelou says, rise again. And I'm sure you will.
Yes.
So without, you know, I don't want to make a depressing show, but I'm just in that mood right now, a little depressed. I'm
sure.
Not myself.
Sure. Well, and our prayers are with them. I mean, Max, what are we but a voice for change, as well as acceptance, as well as, you know, promoting and acknowledging people. And you know, there's such a huge humanitarian part of us that, you know, you can't help it being in the position that you're in, Max. I mean, how great that you would use this opportunity to say, hey, I care. And I'm out there, and I'm with you. And, you know, I don't have to know you. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, you know, that's how it was with the tsunami, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
With the tsunami, it was September 11th. I was raised, my mother is such a charitable person, philanthropist. We were raised in such an environment to always give back. You know, and I was blessed. The American Diabetes Association has given my sister and I awards for our leadership in young philanthropy. Because what is the as to much is given, much is expected.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, and see, that's why I love it. That's why I want to make a lot of money. You know, because you know, one of our teachers, Harv Eker, he talks about, look, if you have the ability to make it, it's your obligation, because so many people need it. And if you become a conduit for, you know, a force for good in the world, I mean, there's nothing like money to back up, you know, causes that are so worthy of, you know, the health.
Attention,
especially. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and the attention. So I think it's a beautiful thing when you become that vessel where it can flow through you instead of just come to you and get stuck.
Yeah. So, you know, we are the change. We are the difference. But you know what? Haiti, I know, will rise again because there's so much attention on it. People can't turn their back on it. You know, the only thing that divides us as people is water.
Yes.
And that's really it. You know, that's really it.
And with the internet.
Nothing.
We're all connected.
And with LA Talk Radio, which is what you listen to right now, Max and friends, we're glad you're here joining us. If you want to call in, the number here is 323-203-0815. We'll take whatever calls are out there, Ronan, and put them in. But before I get going, Tamara's got an amazing guest coming on. So
yes,
before that, I've got to let you all know, on a brighter night, on a brighter night in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On a brighter note. Fashionnewslive.com, everyone, check it out, because I have posted, I've got my blogs up and running. We're talking about Ivanka Trump and her new shoe collection, our favorite things, Tamara, or my favorite things from 2009. What else? I've just been, Eva LaRue, there's all my blogs are up on fashionnewslive.com. The number here again is 323-203-0815. That's the number to the studio. But I'm going to try to do something real quick, okay? Tamara, talk for a minute and just tell me what's going on with you, because I gotta send Ronan a little message here.
Sure. Well, you know what? I am just so happy to be back here with you guys that are listening in tonight. We just so appreciate all of our listeners. God love you for, you know, tuning in with us from all over the world. It just really feels like, you know, this world is really a small place, you know, especially when we get on the air. And, you know, I just know that your ears are out there just tuning in and going, wow, what's going on with Max and Tamara tonight? Who do they got on the show tonight? And I'm ecstatic because I have got one of my dearest friends in the entire world. Is going to be on here with us tonight, and she is becoming and has become a life coach in a way that really gives people hope and encourages them to live their dreams, and not only just live their dreams, but live it to the fullest. And what's it going to take to remove any of those blocks that are preventing you from living the life that you wish that you had?
And if you stay tuned, you're going to hear how. I got to interrupt you real quick, Tamara, because we're going to hear a dial tone. We're going to call Melky, John Wyclef's sister, right now, so we can get her on the line so she can give us an update on Haiti, what's going on.
And excellent.
Here we go.
Boy, that'll be nice.
Let's get her. Melky Jean is going to come on right now. She's been all over the news talking about her beloved Haiti and what's going on there. We have Melky live on LA Talk Radio. Melky, our hearts and prayers are with you. What's going on, my sister?
My brother, this is like one of the worst weeks of my life.
Mine too.
I can only equivalent it to when my father died and September 11th happened.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
So I said I have to talk to you. We spent the first 10 minutes of our show dedicating our prayers. You know, your brother, 501-501-YELE, the text. You know, we've been dedicating this show, the first few part of it, to Haiti and to the people. What's going on there right now from your brother?
Well, you know, maybe we'll have Clef talk for himself because, you know, he just came back from Haiti.
Right.
I spoke to him maybe an hour ago, and he said that basically he was putting bodies in pickup trucks.
Mm-hmm. My God. My God.
Putting bodies in pickup trucks, but, you know.
You know, one of the things that Max was saying, I mean, there's some pretty heroic things that are going on there, too. Like, it's surprising that certain people are alive and they should be dead.
It's so funny. You would have to know Haitian people to know that, you know, it'll take a whole lot more than a 7.0 mm-hmm. earthquake to keep us down. I have a not-for-profit called Karma Foundation, karmafoundation.org. And I have a gentleman in Haiti right now. I finally got to talk to him 2 days. And he's okay.
Yeah, how's your camp doing? Is your camp doing well down there at Karma Foundation?
No, they're not. They need me to get to them. And, you know, they're not allowing airplanes to land at the airport. And I understand why, because, you know, the relief effort and actually the recovery effort at this point is taking priority. I have an orphanage also in a place called Leogon, and I have 30 kids in the orphanage, caretakers, and I have not heard from them. And the word is that in the town that two orphanages have been hit. Mm-hmm. One of them, three children died, and in one of them, all of the kids are okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one is mine at this point. So this is something that is really hitting home for me. I'm hitting home for the Karma Foundation and all of the people who have been part of the Karma Foundation that have actually come to Haiti with me, from Colorado to Los Angeles to New York. We've had, you know, just a really good, eclectic group of people. And Andre Berto, the WBC welterweight champion, like, we were all in Haiti, and we were all scheduled to be in Haiti in March. And I was actually going to be in Haiti this past Monday. Mm-hmm. So if that trip had happened, you know, I would have been there when the earthquake happened. Mm-hmm. So this is just very surreal to me.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, we're praying and we're hoping and, you know, it's a very grave and bad situation. And I don't want people to get away from that, as you know, and in America, everything is so beautiful and so pretty and so pink. And back home in Haiti, it's not. Mm-hmm. And it's a few organizations and a few people that have been in Haiti, have been telling people about Haiti for years now, and now everyone's talking about Haiti.
Well, you know, Melky, it's because of you that us here at LA Talk Radio know about Haiti. When we had you on about a year ago, you know, you shared your love for your country, you shared your love, your dedication for your country through Karma Foundation. And how can people help now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to help, you can go to karmafoundation.org and make a monetary donation, or you can go to poweredbyaction.org and make a monetary donation. Or look at poweredbyaction.org, and you'll get to see some of the donation sites that we have in New York City, New Jersey, Atlanta, California, and Florida.
Mm-hmm. And also you can text YELE to 501-501. That's a $5 donation. That's your brother's organization there. And God bless him, because so far I know they've raised over $2 million, and I know that's going to help so tremendously with the efforts mm-hmm. down there. But Melky, you know,
Absolutely. There's
a saying that Maya Angelou said, and it's been, you know, because I've been thinking about you so constantly over these days. My tears have been shed for you, for your country. And, you know, there's a poem Maya Angelou writes called I Rise. And into a daybreak, miraculously clear, I rise. And I know that, you know, the resilience that I see in you, because you are the people of Haiti. Your smile is Haiti every time I see you. I think when we first met, I said, Melky's smile, you just light up the room. And as I see these people, you know, in the photos before this happened with you and Karma Foundation, the smile is what is the radiance of Haiti. You know, and I was saying that there's a cloud over Haiti, but the smiles of the people will come back again. They will rise. And I think it's time for us as humanity to bring that, the salvation back to Haiti, to bring back humanity back to Haiti, and not to turn our eye or our back on a country that's not that far from America.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yep.
You know, And now's the time.
And it's so funny that you picked Maya Angelou, because if you go to the KarmaFoundation.org website, one of the songs I wrote, and I wrote it for the Hurricane soundtrack, the theme song is a song called Till I Rise. It's funny that you say that, because, you know, that's the theme song that has been getting us through. And if you know anything about Haitian people, this is not, and I say this is not going to keep us down. Still, we shall rise.
You will rise. Into a daybreak, miraculously clear, you will rise. But Melky, you know, so I thank you so much for coming on tonight. I know that your efforts are going to continue to bless your country, to bless your island, to bless your people. You know me personally, Melky. If there's anything I can do, I got your back. So you can call on me. You know,
I'll
be there. I'm there for you 100% always, my sister, okay?
All right, my brother. Y'all
so
take
before
care,
we bounce, because you know what, Melky, this is what brought us together. And you know what? Before we go anywhere, we're going to do a prayer for Haiti right now, because we're going to translate this over the nations, over the airwaves right now. They're not doing this on TV publicly. We're going to do it here with Melky Jean, everyone, right now. So let's just get a moment of prayer for Haiti. Father God, in the name of Jesus, who I believe in and who my guests are on tonight believe in, Father God, we just pray right now that you put your hand over Haiti, Father God, that you lift up the nation, Father God, that you show your salvation onto them, that you show your protection onto them, Father God. Cover them, Father God. Continue to encourage them. Bless them, Father God. Let the tears that are shed, Father God, you say you will bottle. And as you bottle them, remember them as a people. And Father God, as we are here as people, as humanity, let us not turn our backs on Haiti, Father God. Let us be encouraged and inspired to go into that nation and to help them, Father God, with whatever we can do. Because you say, Father God, that nothing, oh Father God, thank you, Jesus. You say that nothing is, that we can't do anything without Christ Jesus. So with you, Father God, we just pray that we can go into that country, Father God, even if physically we can't go in there, but people to go in there. Open up the gateways for them to enter. And Father God, let there continue to be miracles happen in Haiti, Father God. And we thank you right now for this opportunity to let us proclaim your word on this station. And Father God, we just thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, just watch over the people and continue to surround them with the blessing and encourage them and lift them up. And Melky, we just pray for you right now that the Holy Spirit touches you and protects you in everything that you do for this country, and that your steps are ordered by the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for that. You know, I have done interviews with so many people in the past 5 days, and you were the first person to pray for Haiti and the first person to pray with me. So God bless you, Max, and just keep praying for Haiti.
I will. And I'll pray. And Melky, you're my prayers always as well, and especially at a time like this. I love you. God bless you. Stay encouraged, Melky, and we got the torch. We're holding the torch with you, okay? And if you need us, call on us. God bless you, my friend. Okay.
All right, my friend.
Good night. All right. Well, Tamara, before I start crying, this is like an emotional thing for me, because, you know, that's my dear friend. And to know that she's got her orphanage down there where children have died, it's just a tough time. But still, we rise. And on that note, I'm going to let you turn over the show to a life coach who's going to coach us how we can rise above what we're going through. Okay?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So,
let's welcome Audra on. What's going on, my friend Audra?
Audra, pull up your mic.
Okay. Hey, everybody.
How are you?
Great. I just wanted to add to that that under these circumstances, when we don't have control over circumstances and when we can't change circumstances, that we have to remember that we do have control over how we choose to look at them and our thoughts over them. And you know, we can always find a deeper purpose, you know, when things like this happen and we, you know, have no explanation for it. But it doesn't make any sense to stay down. And we have the opportunity to decide what we can do and who we choose to be now in the situation. So we just have to remember to stay up, because it doesn't serve anybody to, you know, to stay down. So just have to keep moving forward and looking for purpose.
Exactly. I could not have. Well said. Now that's why you're a life coach. So
yeah.
I'm going to let you and Tamara take over the airwaves. It's been a pleasure to be on tonight. I'm Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Hey, Ronan, let everyone know what they're listening to. That was a little bit of a twist.
LA Talk Radio.
There you go. You're listening to Max and Friends. Tamara, I'm going to bid you adieu. My quote for the day is, for the weakest, I have a couple, but I'm going to leave you with this one, okay? Expectations lead to limitations. So on that note, have a wonderful week, everybody. I'm Max Tucci, your host here at LA Talk Radio. And of course, Max, for Haiti, still I rise. And that's what we're all going to do. You know what? Audra, let everyone rise. Bring up everyone's emotions. Bring up their life. Let everyone see what 2010 is going to be for them. Something that they're going to be able to take over and control their lives and be empowered. So have a fun night, you two. I've got to run. But
bless your heart, Max.
Love you much.
Love you so much. Our hearts with you too. And you just go and keep doing good things, Max.
I will. And you too. You guys, I'm going to tune in. I'm going to listen to the show tomorrow night. Everyone, if you miss any portion of the show, check into LA Talk Radio because we've got our archives here and you could hear the whole show in its entirety on latalkradio.com. Good night, ladies. Have fun.
Good night, Max.
Good night, Max.
And again, too, I want to remind our listeners, you can look up the Karma Foundation, too, and support Milky and her efforts in Haiti and helping them rise up again. So, God love you, Milky. Thanks so much for the update and what's going on there. I guess there's like 50,000 known dead and 250 that they're expecting. So, man, I mean, Audra, this is one of the reasons why we don't even tune into the news, but you know, I figure if there's something that I need to know, somebody's going to tell me. Do you think that too?
I definitely feel that way. I choose to live in a state of joy, and so I surround myself in situations where I can be aligned with that. And a lot of times, TV doesn't have that effect. So I just
Yeah, bless your heart. I know. So, Audra, welcome, sister. This is so great to have you.
This is so fun to be on the radio with you, girl. I'm always usually just listening to you.
Oh, God love you. I know this is really a special treat for me too, my dear. And I just know that, you know, anybody listening in that may have some questions about, well, what is a life coach? I mean, what could someone expect if they were to give Audra Irwin a call and say, Audra, you know, I'm looking for some life coaching. What can they expect from that?
Well, they can expect to find out the difference, basically, how beneficial it is to have a life coach, somebody who's just can sit down with them, find out where they want to go and move them forward. That's the beautiful thing about coaching, is it's just really moving you forward, finding out what it is that you want for your life and what's keeping you from having that. And
well, what do you notice is one of the biggest things that gets in our way? I mean, why don't we have the life that we want?
Gosh, there's so many variables to that. And that's where one-on-one coaching comes into play, because a lot of times there's our little inner gremlins and different things that we have that keep us blocked that we can't even identify. So sometimes it's like peeling back the layers of an onion to get to that point. And a lot of times you get this aha, and they don't even realize it until they get to that point, and then they're able to move forward. But the coolest part about it is they actually, in the coaching process, are able to come to that conclusion on their own, just based on, you know, questions and whatnot. So it's not you telling them, you know, what they don't know. It's actually them getting there themselves, which is the beautiful part. Because normally when somebody tells us what's best for us and what we need to do, we never do it. But when we discover those answers for ourselves, that's when we're able to move forward.
That is so true. Because sometimes, do you think it like starts out with a feeling? Like sometimes you're just feeling like shit and you just don't know why. And it's like, geez, you know, I know that could absolutely be me. And so sometimes we can't see what's going on. But yet I feel like what might be possible too is like you said, really drawing those things out from me, like, well, what's going on, and asking a series of questions like what you're talking about can really get to the root of it when we can't even see it ourselves. It's like those blind spots, right?
Exactly. And, you know, a quick thing to do that I always say is normally when you're not feeling good, it's your thoughts that's triggering that emotion. So if you can stop and identify what thoughts you're thinking, it's usually not a pleasant thought. And then you have to stop and say, well, is this true? Is this a limited belief? Is this, you know, is this an assumption? And usually that's where that uncomfortable feeling comes from. And when you can actually sit and identify, well, okay, these negative thoughts is what's triggering my bad emotions. You can actually, you're in charge of switching that to something that feels better. And
right. And, you know, I know that I've talked to so many people. It's like, man, even myself at times, too, I'm thinking, God, if I could just, like, flip a switch and actually change it. You know, how exactly did someone just change their thoughts? Is it being like stopping whatever you're doing and doing something different? How do you actually coach someone through changing their thoughts?
Well, it's definitely not something that, you know, it takes a little time, but the more you do it and the more you're aware of it, actually the easier it becomes. And it's just, I guess, I don't know about you, but I don't like to not feel good. So when I'm not feeling good, I have to check into why I'm not feeling good. And instead of numbing out, so much of society, they just want to, all right, I don't feel good. Something, you know, this is uncomfortable for me, and they want to pop a pill or have a drink or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And really, you can dig a little deeper to find out, okay, what's really up here, and you can move past it. Because if you constantly numb out and you mask the problem and you don't really get to the heart of it, you can't really grow and move forward. And that's what tends to keep people stuck in their situations and their lives and not, you know, move them to where they actually want to be. Because we all have the potential to be where we want to be. And it's just limited beliefs and different things that keep us blocked, you know, just a number of things. And in a coaching session, you actually get to the core of those things, and you're able to move the client forward. So it's a really
I
cool
see.
Thing. You have somebody who holds you accountable too. When you know, when you come up with the solutions for your life, you know, you have somebody who's going to keep you on track and hold you accountable for that.
But you know, that's so.
Pardon me?
Yeah, that is so helpful. I mean, yeah, like what you were going to say is ultimately it's up to you, right? But I tell you what, just having a, you know, someone that you know that you're checking in with and it's like, in, that you can bounce things off with, sometimes just hearing yourself and with another person, it just does something. And it reminds us again that we're not like lone islands, I think. Do you find that too? That it's really neat to really have someone who's in it with you. I think that's divine partnership.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times we just want to be validated. And that's part of the process, too, is just acknowledging and, you know, what it is that you really want, identifying that, you know, validating, you know, that you have legitimate things in your life, and those are very normal for you. And then where do we want to get you? Because it's all about moving forward.
And you know what's great is we've got a caller. So, caller, you're on the line. Welcome to Max and Friends.
Hey there. Hi, this is Greg.
Well, hello there, Mr. Greg. How are you?
I'm doing real well. I was just wondering, what's the difference between, you know, I know your guest talker is a life coach. What's the difference between a life coach and a therapist or someone that's just giving you advice for life?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay, well, basically, therapy deals with people who aren't quite functioning. You know, they have a lot of, you know, maybe depression, who knows, whatever their situation is. But typically, it's digging back in the past, kind of trying to figure out, you know, why a lot of the things that have happened, and it's just kind of about just talking about those kind of things, where a life coach, and I'm not a therapist, but I do know that the difference in coaching is that it's really for functional people who want to be optimal. So we don't really, you know, while we kind of get to the whys of, you know, why certain things happen, which kind of has to go to the past a little bit, we don't stay there and spin that. We look to go, where do you want to be? And kind of move it forward that way rather than staying stuck. You know, that therapy is beautiful for that, because there's a lot of people who really have to peel back several layers, you know, to get through a lot of, you know, things. There are traumatic things and stuff that happen. But coaching is really for pretty functional people who, you know, are functioning pretty well. They just aren't where they want to be, and they want to be optimal. So that's where the coaching process comes in.
And Greg, would you like to say what you do?
Oh, I'm a speaker and an author, and I train people in groups And, you know, I've worked with a lot of coaches. I wanted to hear, you know, Audra's perspective on it. I also wanted to know what kind of, like, I'd like to hear one of her stories about where she's been able to use coaching and who's like a perfect client for her. Because I'm guessing, you know, in the field, there's probably 50 different subjects you cover. Just like therapists will deal with anything from, like, insanity to marriage problems to, you know, people that are just depressed. And so what are some of the things that, you know, you got a winning story or something that explains what you do?
Well, my favorite clients are the people who they really have dreams for their life. They have, I mean, they really have something that's been in their heart for a really long time, but they, for whatever reason, they feel like life's gotten in the way. And they, you know, they're stuck in their day job. It's not the career that they want, and really trying to get to why they can't have all of that, because there's mm-hmm. There's just a lot of people who aren't living their dreams. They're not living their passion. They're just, you know, mm-hmm. just on like the weeble on the wheel and doing what they think they're supposed to do, and it's what they've done, and you know, and they don't know how to, you know, realistically in their minds, you know, live their dreams and live their purpose.
And Audra, you know, that's a really good question too, Greg, that you had. Is there someone that you've seen come from that space and then actually come through to the other side?
Well, I'm working with somebody right now who's almost on their way to the other side. They left their job in, you know, corporate America, where they, you know, were guaranteed a salary and health benefits, and they just, you know, have enough determination and belief in themselves now that they will be where they want to be, you know, and that's
excellent.
Too, you know, it's kind of perfect.
And you notice there's like a big difference when somebody really is living their passion, when they're living their dream. Do you find that there's just a more of an aliveness that's available instead of just this mediocre, humdrum, you know,
absolutely
hee-ho like the dwarfs in Snow White?
Right. Well, absolutely, because you know what? When all of us live from an authentic place, we're all mm-hmm. happier people. And could you imagine if every single person checked in with themselves and said, what really lights me up? What is it that just rocks my world and that if I got paid for it would just be a plus? And think about if everybody did that, you know, just how mm-hmm. much happier in general everyone would be and just the difference it would make in the world. And, you know, everybody has something inside of them that lights them up, you know, and sometimes, you know, it gets overshadowed by all those things and you know, but still underneath there. And so it's just really cool when you're able to sit with somebody and really find out what lights them up and then to feel their energy around that and to see how just how that whole energy shift makes them feel. And it's amazing. Mm. So really that's kind of my favorite thing to see, is people really find their purpose for themselves and move towards mm. that. Because it just benefits the whole universe, really, when that happens.
Mm. Now, question. Because, you know, there's a lot of, like, I'm a big fan of the mentorship program or the apprentice, where you actually study under a master. And I know there's a lot of people out there that just call themselves life coaches and start giving people advice. So, or they just take, you know, some home study course or something.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern would be, you know, that you get people that really don't know what the hell they're doing, and they're telling people how to live their lives and getting them to take risks and so mm-hmm. how do you think people ought to be certified for this?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of different you know, coaches out there. There are people who call themselves coaches. There are psychics even that are calling themselves coaches now because coaching's becoming so popular. I did my homework when I, you know, went through the coaching process, and IPEC is who I went through, because they just have this wonderful program that is in alignment with what I believe, you know, my spiritual foundation and all of that. And there's a lot around it. There are some programs where you can go, you know, and you can get certified in like 150 hours or something, but for me, it's important for me to have all the information and the knowledge and to be the best coach that I can be. So I guess it's just right now, you know, if you're looking to hire a coach, you know, it might be important for you to ask them, you know, their background on that. But for me, you know, the training and the personal development I still continue to do is what gives mm-hmm. me the credentials to help coach people.
Well, and you know, I always love listening to people who are coming down from the mountaintops. So when you've had like those experiences yourself and you really get this opportunity to be filled up and know your place in the world to then be able to come back to the world and offer that to someone else, that's so rewarding. And I think that that's part of what a good coach does, is really lives by example, like has that epiphany or that awakening for themselves and has the desire and then imparts that to someone else. So I love listening to people who have done like courses, what you've done, Audra, and that you've done your homework, you've done some research, and you know, Greg, like you too, you know, you've been out there and you're like, okay, what works and what doesn't work. So it's really nice to speak with someone who's, you know, really tested, tried, and true the you know, all the different ropes of ways of being with people and noticing what works and what doesn't work. What has your experience been, Greg, where you've seen people out there just pretending to be one? What's the biggest difference that you see between an authentic coach and someone who's just, you know, hanging their shingle and, you know, taking in a paycheck and calling themselves that versus actually being a good one?
Well, I'll be frank. One of the things that pisses me off is so frequently when I run into a therapist, I'll ask them, you know, what are you committed to for your clients? And mm-hmm. and they don't even know. It's like they've got some big institution that's told them they got to do this and they can't do that and they got to do this and they can't do that. So the thing I like about coaching is it seems to me you could be way more courageous in what you're doing with your clients, but, you know, you got to know what you're committed to for your clients. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, like I know you, Tamara, you've been through some pretty tough times. You've been a social worker for like 11 years and, mm-hmm. and, you know, you're working with kids. So I'd like to ask each of you, like, what are you committed to? Because for me, I don't give a crap about your, you know, your credentials or whether you got a degree. I want to know what experience are you committed to creating for your clients and what have you been through that makes mm-hmm. it like, okay, I'm passionate about this. And my credentials are that you know, I care and that my clients are important. So mm-hmm. what are you committed to for your clients?
Well, and that's a really good question, because how I liken it to is really being like a caged animal. And this is personally what I felt in growing up, is this pacing back and forth inside of these prison walls, these prison barriers that keep me from full self-expression. And that's something I didn't grow up having. And that's why I love radio, I love television, I love doing therapy with other clients, because what I'm committed to is seeing them get out of those prison walls that prevent them from experiencing intimacy that they crave and that we all crave, that we long for, that we desire to have connection with other people in a way that's uninhibited, because I had not known it growing up. And so for me to have experienced that in a therapeutic setting, and through my education, when I finally experienced that for myself, psychologically first, when I got the freedom of going, oh my God, you mean I can actually say this? You mean I can actually be this way with people? And it's so truthful and it's so real and this is the way I've always wanted to be. And for me, personally, getting freed up has been my goal then to be able to turn around and offer that for other people through unconditional acceptance, whatever it is that you have to say or are in fear of saying because you're not going to be liked or you're not going to be accepted. I create those kind of environments where people can do that. And you can literally verbally vomit and it's all okay with me. And so I'm willing to go as deep as someone else is willing to go. And I think the braver you are, the deeper you go, the greater the opportunity for you to be victorious and courageous in your expression in the world. And I love to watch people just stand up on stage or in their environments, in their families, and just be able to say, man, I love you. You are the greatest thing to me. Or, you know what, this really hurts me, and let's work through this together because I love you that much. Instead of shutting down and being immobilized, which I've known most of my life, and I love watching couples right before my very eyes just open up and blossom and turn to each other and say, this is what's meaningful to me, and I love you this much that I'm willing to go this deep with you. And to be a witness to that, ugh.
Well, and one of the things I know about you, Tamara, is, you know, because I know some of the folks that you work with, and I consider, I refer to you all the time as shame repellent. You're like shame and guilt just don't exist for you. And you refuse to go there with people, and so frequently therapists use those kind of things. One of my favorite scenes from a movie is Patch Adams, where he tells this this guy that's supposed to be his boss, you know, he says, I really want to help people. I really want to heal them in hospitals. And the guy says, well, that's what I do. And Patch Adams says, well, you suck at it. And,
right.
And Patch Adams is using all these crazy, courageous techniques where he really is you know, he's using laughter and fun to sort of empower those people. So that's what I see as a potential for coaching. But, you know, I'd like to find out from you guys. So what do you think the equivalent of that is in the coaching world?
The equivalent of being able to just go, this doesn't suck. So it's the opposite of what sucks.
Yeah, like, you know, here you got a doctor that says, well, what I do is help people. But what all he really does is judge people, analyze them, and then write prescriptions. Or, you know, he's got a sense of aboveness. And it's really just nauseating. And what you love about Pat Adams is the guy's courageous. Taking risks. He's going out and putting his butt on the line to help people. So, you know, Audra's a coach, life coach. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, studying and looking through some different programs for it. You're a therapist, Tamara. I got to be honest with you. You're one of the few therapists I even, you know, believe in, because so many of them I've just had experiences where, you know, it's just like they just don't know what they're committed to for their clients. So, so, you know, again, I want to repose the question. What are you, and to pose this to each of you, what are you committed to for your clients?
Mm-hmm. Their personal growth and development. I'm committed to their agenda, because really, at the end of the day, it's all about them and getting them to where they want to be and the results that they want for their life.
Yeah, and I'm committed to my people being absolutely free. Absolutely free in every way, shape, and form. That there's nothing that blocks or holds them back. And in a way that is loving and respectful and says, you know, you are me. So there's a part of, you know, just there's a freedom, and, you know, there's people that continue to be arrogant or use that to be hurtful. So I'm committed to freedom that is free to love in a way that everybody wins. So it's kind of like it doesn't work if it's not a win-win.
So for you, it's personal freedom, and it sounds like for Audra, it has more to do like with self-confidence or self-reliance.
Yes, bring out the best in them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Go ahead, sweetheart.
Mine is just to see my clients live up to their full potential. That's really...
Right. Right. It's beautiful.
Do you believe, Audra, that you ought to, that you have like your program that you take people through, or is it more like one of those Socratic processes where you ask a lot more questions and you are tapping more into the passion and inspiration of the client? Or do you think it's just, you know, it's like results coaches? I've heard of results coaches, and I'm not real fond of it, because for me, life isn't about results. Mm-hmm. Some of the most miserable people on the planet have great results, but they don't know how to manage experiences in their life. So, what is it that for you is the process or the technique that actually works?
Well, to find out their personal fulfillment basically it's a series of questions. I mean, you start with a question. What is it that you want? What is it that you really want for your life? And then I would have to follow that up by what is keeping you from having it. And then, you know, throughout the process, you know, we go through various things and, you know, we're able to set some goals or, you know, whatever it is, it means for that client. It's always, always their agenda. And it just varies, you know, in different situations. So.
Well, you know, what I'm wanting for us right now is that we've got to wrap up. I'm getting some word here from our producers, but I just want to tell you guys how grateful I am for, you know, just the questions that are being brought forth here, because, you know, every time we're really digging in to something, and I know it's, we don't even have enough time for that, but every time we're doing that, we're expanding. So, I mean, Greg and Audra, I would love for you guys to just be able to share something, you know, directly, authentically from your hearts right now. If you were to have a piece of beautiful information that you'd love to impart with our listeners here tonight, what would it be?
Well, for me, Tamara, it's just it's a new year. It's 2010. You know, when was the last time you felt joy in your life? And do you want more of that for yourself? And what does that mean to you? And really, I challenge you to sit and create a vision in your mind of what the perfect life would look like for you. And really kind of, you know, see what all that means. And know that, you know, it's not impossible, that everything is possible. So.
Wow, that's beautiful. And Greg, how about you? What kind of parting, words would you have for us?
Well, I'm a big fan of appreciation. And, having studied a little bit of I just believe in Pavlov and the approach that he used. You know, ring the bell, feed the dog, ring the bell, feed the dog. And like I said, I train people. And I don't know if you call it coaching, but it's like I believe that if you can take somebody and get them to do the things that they don't want to do, they learn that they can do anything. So that coupled with appreciation, saying, all right, what is it I really appreciate that I do have? When I looked at the folks like, you know, Napoleon Hill and Brian Tracy and Tony Robbins and these guys that are supposedly fantastic coaches and trainers, the one ingredient that it seems like they all include, it's also in the movie with the Bleep Do We Know and The Secret, is appreciation. So that's one thing. And I did have a question, Audra, if you don't mind. And that's just simply, how do you know when, would you say as a life coach, how do you know when it's time to ask the person that you're dating, that you're considering spending the rest of your life with, how do you know when it's time to actually say, you know what, will you marry me?
Wow. Well, usually that's the boy's job, and I'm a girl, so I would have no idea. I've never had to propose to anybody. I guess if I, just going off of my intuition, I would just say, you know, I think you would just know when it feels right. And
yeah.
And I don't know. That's all I got for you.
Yes, and that's beautiful too, because I think when everything's in alignment, then there's no question that is there. So really allowing something to evolve and letting it be is a beautiful thing too, even if somebody else is a little over anxious. So, with that said, we are going to wrap up this show here tonight, and I just want to thank all of our listeners, thank our producers here at Max and Friends, and we just send out a lot of love to Haiti and what's been going on over there, and that our thoughts and our prayers are with you, and don't forget to check out KarmaFoundation.com. If you want to get a hold of Audra Irwin for any kind of life coaching, she's $100 an hour, and her address is AudraIrwin@ymail.com. So with that, Ronan, let's just bring up the music here, and we want to thank everybody for tuning in, and don't forget to tune in next week, Sunday nights from 8 to 9 on the West Coast and 11 to 12 on the East Coast with Max and Friends. Thanks for being with us.